This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you all to this session on the 99 names of Allah, which we've called In the Names of Allah. And this is session 64 and name 87. So as is our usual practice, we'll greet our students, visitors, well-wishers, etc. First in the list is Sister Rashida Abdul Rashid from Virginia, USA. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister Zahida Shah from Kashmir. Sister Nadira Tajuddin, may Allah grant you healthy and long life and righteousness also. From Melbourne, Australia. And Nazhat Ruksana Dodamani, didn't indicate where she is reaching out from, but Assalamu alaikum nonetheless. And Islamic Bayanat, wa alaikum salam also. And BBH, wa alaikum salam. Bayanat is from Doha, Qatar. And with that, we'll move on to our session. Bismillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulihil Kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabi, wa man istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. All praise due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. This is session 64, Al-Warith, the heir, the inheritor, name number 7, 87. In terms of location in the Quran, the divine name Al-Warith is found in only three places, two of which are وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ نُحْيِي وَنُمِيتُ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ. It is only I who gives life and causes death, and I am the inheritor. Surah Al-Hijr, verse 23. And in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 89, وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And Zachariah, when he cried out to his Lord, "My Lord, do not leave me alone, although you are the best of inheritors." In terms of the meaning, linguistically, warith comes from the triliteral root Wow, Ra, Tha, whose masdar is Irthun. It's a verbal noun, having three main meanings. The first meaning is to inherit. The second is to be a survivor. And the third is to be the owner or maintainer after someone has passed. This root appears some 35 times in the Quran in 5 derived forms. Examples of these forms are narithu, we will inherit, mirathu, heritage, and al-warithin, the inheritors. Warith is the present participle in the basic fa'il standard form pattern. Relative to Allah, al-warith is the supreme heir to whom the heritage of the heavens and the earth belongs. Al-Warith is the one who remains after the extinction of everyone and everything. He is the only one to whom all will return. He is the sole inheritor and owner of the whole of creation. As he said in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 58, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ بَطَرَتْ مَعِيشَتَهَا فَتِلْكَ مَسَاكِنُهُمْ لَمْ تُسْكَنْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And how many towns have I destroyed who exalted in their life of ease? Here are their dwellings, uninhabited after them, except for a few. And I am the inheritor. In terms of the effects of the divine name Al-Warith on the believer, praying using this divine attribute, we have the first, there are two types of prayer, the first of which is the prayer of request or mas'ala. Abu Huraira related that on some occasions, the Prophet ﷺ used to pray saying, Allahumma matti'ni bisam'i wa basari waj'alhuma al-waritha minni wansurni ala man yadhlimuni wa khudh minni minhu bitha'ri. O Allah, give me pleasure in my hearing and my sight, and make them inheritors of good from me. Aid me against whoever oppresses me, and take vengeance from him for me. We ask Allah to make our hearing and sight witnesses against, for us on the Day of Judgment, and not witnesses against us. Allah said, for many, our sight and hearing would be witnesses against us. In Surah Fussilat, we find Allah there saying, Hatta idha ma ja'uha shahida alayhim sam'uhum wa absaruhum wa juluduhum bima kanu ya'malun. Until when they reached hell, their hearing and their sight and their skins will testify against them regarding what they used to do. That's Surah Fussilat, verse 20. Our supplications to Allah using the divine name and the divine attribute of inheritance should be prayers in which we ask Allah to make us true righteous inheritors of whatever He provided with in this life, in this world. Whatever He provided us in this world. As nothing belongs to us in the true sense, even our senses of sight and hearing, generations of human beings saw and heard before us, all the way back to Prophet Adam and his wife Eve. They no longer see and hear as we do, so we have inherited the abilities from them, and a day will come when we will lose them, and our descendants will inherit them from us. So for the limited amount of time that we have these senses, we should pray that we use them to benefit ourselves and not to harm ourselves. We should be very conscious of being held responsible for how we use them and our complete inability to go back in time and correct our mistakes. We have only one opportunity to do it right, and we need to make the best of it. The other form of prayer using this name is prayer of worship. Our prayers utilizing the divine name of inheritance should be, or the divine attribute of inheritance, should be prayers of worship. A prayer of worship is reflected in a particular type of behavior through which the believer expresses his or her detachment, what is known in Arabic as ghurba, or weaning from this material world, and the establishment of Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, of Allah in its place. That is the unity of worship of Allah, submission to Allah. In return for continued possession and ownership of a portion as rightful inheritors. In order to achieve this, we should direct all of our desires, words, and deeds in such a way as to reflect this status. Ibn Umar related that on one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ held him by his two shoulders and said, "Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharibun aw abiri sabil aw abiru sabilin." Be in this world as if you were a stranger or a traveler. The sub-narrator added, Ibn Umar used to say, "If you survive till the evening, do not expect to live in the morning. Idha amsayta fala tantadhir as-sabah." And if you survive till the morning, do not expect to be alive in the evening. Wa idha asbahta fala tantadhir al-masa. Wa khudh min sihhatik limaradik. Instead, take from your health for your sickness, or min hayatik limautik, and from your life for your death. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud also related that on one occasion the Messenger of Allah was sleeping on a mat from woven date palm leaves. When he stood up, Ibn Mas'ud said, "We noticed that the mat had left marks on his side. So we asked him, 'O Messenger of Allah, can we get a bed for you?' To which he replied, 'Ma li wa ma li dunya. Ma ana fi dunya illa karakibin istadalla tahta shajara thumma raha wa tarakaha. What do I have to do with this world? What is there for me? And what is there for this world? In this world, I am only a rider who seeks shade under a tree. Then he departs and leaves the tree's shade.'" The believer should realize and be certain that Allah is the only one who distributes the portions of provisions, and that the real inheritance is knowledge, moral character, good behavior, and inheritance of paradise. As Allah said, "Tilka al-jannah allati nurithu min ibadina man kana taqiyya." That is paradise, which I will grant to those of my servants who are devout. "Ulaika humul warithun alladhina yarithun al-firdaus hum fiha khalidun." These are the inheritors who will inherit paradise, remaining in it forever. Surah Maryam, verse 63, and Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 10 and 11. In terms of application, according to Ibn Battal's four principles, the first of which is adopt where applicable. The divine name Al-Warith may be adopted and applied in four different ways. The first is to understand the implications of the divine name and internalize its meaning in our lives with regard to our wealth and trusteeship. The second is the deep understanding of trusteeship should cause the believers to be charitable, as it is the best way to preserve the value of our wealth and possessions. And thirdly, it may be adopted and applied by directly implementing the Islamic rules and regulations of inheritance and defending them. So the first, which is wealth and property trusteeship. Some houses in Muslim lands have written on their doors or gates, the owner is Allah. Instead of having their family names in recognition of the reality of the divine names of Allah, Al-Malik, Al-Warith. When we truly realize that whatever we possess actually belongs to Allah and has only been temporarily entrusted to us, we will sincerely become aware that we will be asked about how we looked after it. Wealth and property have been given to us temporarily in order for Allah to make us see how we managed or mismanaged them as their inheritors and trustees. Allah said in this regard, "Aminu billahi wa rasulihi wa anfiqu mimma ja'alakum mustakhlafina fihi falladhina amanu minkum wa anfaqu lahum ajrun kabir." Believe in Allah and His Messenger and donate from what He has entrusted to you. Those among you who believe and donate will gain a great surah, Al-Hadid, verse 7. Human beings are like treasurers, cashiers, or tellers who are held responsible for the wealth that they have in their possession. And Allah is continually watching over them. Ultimately, God will call us to account, and He will inform us of whatever we did with our inherited possessions. Everything that we think and act as if we own will return to Allah, the ultimate inheritor, the only one who will remain after all of creation is annihilated and vanishes. This is like the emotion we experience when visiting the luxurious palatial home of someone dead and gone. His children are the ones now enjoying the home, because they are his inheritors. They are the new trustees. Allah reminds us of that reality, saying, Inna nahnu narithu al-arda wa man alayha wa ilayna yurja'un. It is I who will inherit the earth and whatsoever is on it, and to me they will be returned. Surah Maryam, verse 40. After all of the children have inherited from all of their parents, and the last human being passes away, everything remaining will return back to its true owner, Allah, the inheritor of all. The true inheritors. Since the prophets and messengers of Allah are the best of humankind, to inherit from them would naturally be the best possible inheritance one could possibly hope for. In the Topkapi Palace Museum in Istanbul, Turkey, they have many artifacts attributed to the last prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The prophet's turban, his cloak, his sandals, even hairs from his head, etc., are there, supposedly preserved for the last 1,400 years. But these objects have no historical evidence of a chain of reliable narrators to prove their authenticity, because for them to be authentic, a Sahabi had to get it, or one of his wives, who would be considered amongst the Sahaba, Sahabiyat. Then he or she would pass it on to somebody from the Tabi'un, the next generation. And then that person from the Tabi'in would pass it on to the Tabi'ut Tabi'in, and so on and so forth. We'd have to have a chain of narrators, reliable narrators, not just names stuck there, people who were known, evidence given for them, hadith narrators. The scholars of hadith analyzed all of this. So without that chain, then we have something which is just based on hearsay. Though the thousands who visit the museum every year and marvel at the artifacts and long to touch them and fondle them in the hope that some of the barakah or blessings which they assume must be on them would rub off in the process. Similarly, the claimed strand of hair of the Prophet in the Hazrat Baal Mosque shrine in Srinagar, Jammu and Kashmir, India. Where is the chain of narration linking it to the disciple who got it from the Prophet? All that Kashmiris have on record is that in 1635, the relic was brought to India by Sayyid Abdullah. Who was Sayyid Abdullah? And taken to the city of Bijapur. Who was Sayyid Abdullah? And whom did he get the hairs from? God alone knows. All that is known is that his son, Sayyid Hamid, or Hamid, passed them on to a Kashmiri businessman named Nuruddin. And who was Nuruddin? Such relics as these are of no value and are in most cases fake. The real inheritance of the last prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not to be found in his relics and ancient artifacts, whether true or false. The real inheritance is in the knowledge of Islam, which he brought. The Messenger of Allah himself said, "Inna al-ulama warathatul anbiya." Indeed, the scholars are the heirs of the prophets. "Wa inna al-anbiya lam yurithu dinaran wala dirhama." And the prophets did not leave behind dinars or dirhams. "Innama warathu al-ilma faman akhadha bihi hadhin wafir." The only inheritance of the scholars is knowledge. So whoever takes from it, he has indeed taken the most able share. Consequently, when someone's share of this life is wealth, as in the case of Qarun, known as Korah in English, let us not forget that Allah gave Qarun great wealth, yet he didn't love him. Then he took it all back from him in an instant. Allah records in the Quran in Surah Qasas, verse 79, "And when Korah came out before his people in his splendor, those who desired the worldly life said, 'If only we possessed the likes of what Korah was given. He is truly very fortunate.'" Then Allah goes on to say, "But those gifted with knowledge said, 'Woe to you, the reward of Allah is better for those who believe and work righteousness. Yet none attains it except the patient.'" In verse 81, Allah goes on to say, "So I caused the earth to cave in on him and his mansion. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرُونَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ." He had no group to save him from Allah, nor could he defend himself. And Allah in verse 82 said, "And those who desired his position the day before were saying, 'Unfortunately, it seems Allah gives abundantly or sparingly to whom he wills of his servants. Had Allah not been gracious to us, he would have caved the earth in on us also. Sadly, but certainly, the ungrateful never prosper.'" The second form of worship is, or the second principle of applying the name of Allah is giving charitably for Allah's sake. Allah has encouraged the believers to spend from their wealth in His path, reminding them that they inherited whatever wealth they had and were authorized to utilize it according to the Sharia requirements. We should be fully aware that we are merely one in a line of successors to whom the wealth has been handed down. We do not own it in reality. Allah said, "Aminu billahi wa rasulihi wa anfiqu mimma ja'alakum mustakhlafina fi." Believe in Allah and His Messenger and donate from what He has made you successors with. Those among you who believe and charitably donate will have a great reward. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْفَقُوا لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ Surah Al-Hadid, verse 7. Allah Al-Warith encourages spending charitably by warning those who do not spend charitably for Allah's sake during their lives that their wealth will all go back to Allah when they die anyway, because inheritance of the heavens and earth and their contents all belong to Him in the first place. Allah the Inheritor said, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ What is the matter with you that you do not spend in Allah's way when Allah and to Allah belongs the inheritance of the heavens and the earth? Surah Hadid, verse 10. Abu Huraira, he quoted the Prophet ﷺ as further emphasizing this warning by saying, a servant will say, my wealth, my wealth. يَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ مَالِي مَالِي But only three things out of his wealth are his. Whatever he eats, and it is digested and disappears. What he dresses himself with, and he wears it out. And what he gives in charity and keeps as a reward in the hereafter. What is beyond that is gone and left for others. What is given in charity is preserved as good deeds in the life to come, as well as being the cause of Allah increasing our provisions. Abu Huraira related that the Prophet ﷺ had said, قال الله أنفق يا ابن آدم أنفق عليك. O son of Adam, Allah said, spend in charity and I will spend on you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he also reported that the Prophet ﷺ once asked them, who among you considers his wealth or considers the wealth of his heirs dearer to him than his own wealth? They replied, every one of us loves our own wealth more. So the Prophet ﷺ said, his wealth is whatever he spends during his life. The wealth of his heirs is whatever he leaves behind after his death. Rifa'a ibn Rafi' reported that he went with the Messenger of Allah to the Musalla one occasion, and he saw the people doing business. So he said, O people of trade! And they responded to the Messenger by turning their necks and their gazes towards him. And then he said, Inna tujjar yub'athuna yawm al-qiyamati fujjara illa man ittaqa Allah وَبَرَّ وَصَدَقْ Indeed, merchants will be resurrected on the day of judgment with the wicked, except the one who is mindful of Allah, who behaves charitably, and who is truthful. Subhanallah. All of these warnings were meant to further bring home the concept of us being only trustees for whatever wealth has fallen into our hands, not its owners. We can either use it to benefit ourselves by spending charitably and increasing its value in both this life and the next, or we can choose to be uncharitable, lose its value in both this life and the next, and be held accountable for its misuse. The third way of applying the divine name, Al-Warith, is by following the inheritance laws of the Quran and the Sunnah. Application of the divine name Al-Warith requires the believers to follow the rulings and laws regarding inheritance in Islam, as laid out in the Quran and demonstrated in the Sunnah. We must refer to them in every situation requiring the calculation of inheritance, whether it brings us worldly benefit or not. Some people follow their own rules of inheritance to favor some family members over others, and heirs may not object in order to gain more financial benefit. At other times, male inheritors prevent female inheritors, like their sisters or even their mothers, from inheriting. This type of behavior is a grave sin, an open disobedience to Allah, Al-Warith. So we should ask him to guide us to stick to his rulings at all times. As Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not befitting for a believer, man or woman, to have any opinion when Allah and His Messenger have already decided on a matter. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly strayed into clear error. Surah Ahzab, verse 36. The Quranic norm is that only the general instructions regarding Islamic laws and practices are found there. The details are usually left to be filled in by the Prophet ﷺ sunnah. For example, the formal prayers, salah, are not described in detail, neither is zakah and hajj. However, in the case of inheritance, the vast majority of the laws governing them and the whole system of inheritance and inheritance distribution, they're all found in the Quran. And only a few general issues are found in the sunnah. It is in the sunnah, for example, that we learn the general rule that Muslims cannot inherit from non-Muslims, or that a separate will or wasiya cannot be made for those who are already designated inheritors in the Quran. The fine details of Muslim inheritance can be found in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, verses 11, 12, and 176. And it is a part of faith to refer to these whenever inheritance has to be calculated and distributed. Now, the apparent unequal division of inheritance between men and women is sometimes cited as an example of Islam's oppression of women. However, before looking at the division of inheritance in Islam with regards to women, one needs to look at the reality of Western inheritance laws. The right to inherit an old own property was only given to women in the West at the turn of the century, whereas that right was given to women in Islam 1,400 years ago. Furthermore, in the West, a person may legally write a will giving all of their wealth to their dogs or cats, while excluding their wives and their children and relatives. In the Islamic system, the rights of wives, children, and relatives to inherit are protected. Set portions of the inheritance to be given to them are identified in the Quran in detail. No one can write a will and cancel or modify what is due to their heirs. A will can be written to give up to a maximum of 1/3 to those who would not inherit by the standard laws of the Quran. As to leaving even the 1/3 of one's wealth to animals, the Muslim state would step in on behalf of the inheritors, if they wished, and cancel such a will, as it obviously indicates some form of mental disorder. The third would be then divided up among the natural inheritors. In Islamic society, men are responsible for the maintenance of women. This is the general principle. We're looking at now why this 2-to-1 ratio for males and females when dividing up the inheritance in Islam. So for example, if a son, a daughter, and a mother inherit, the son also has the additional responsibility of looking after his sister and his mother. Consequently, based on the male's additional roles, Islamic law in general awards the son twice the portion of the daughter, a ratio of 2-to-1. However, the 2-to-1 division is not applied in all cases. For example, the Quran states, if a man or woman dies and leaves behind neither parents nor children, but has a brother and a sister, each of them gets 1/6. And if there are more than two siblings, they equally share 1/3. Surah An-Nisa, verse 11. So it is, if only the brother and sister of the deceased are living, or two brothers or two sisters, 1/3 of the inheritance would be equally divided up between them. And if there were more than two, for example, there were three, consisting of one male and two females, or any other combination, 1/3 would still be divided equally among them, regardless of the number of males. The Quranic prayer of difficulty. Allah Al-Warith instructs the believers to express their recognition and acceptance of two primary facts whenever calamity befalls them, whether major or minor. And this is point number 4 of the 4 ways by which the name Al-Warith can be applied by us as humans. As I said, Al-Warith instructs the believers to express their recognition and acceptance of two primary facts, whether any calamity befalls them, major or minor. The idea being that in our verbal and psychological recognition of these two facts, we can find strength of mind and emotion to accept and handle the trials of life, which Allah assured us are inevitable. Allah said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. I will test you with some fear and hunger and loss of life, lives and crops. So give good news to those who are patient. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155. There's no escaping this reality. From the time we enter this world until the time we leave, we will be in a state of struggle. Life for human beings is synonymous with hardship. From our entrance into this world, crying, to learning how to roll over, how to crawl, how to stand up, how to walk and run, we struggle on through all the stages of life. Allah Al-Warith said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. I have certainly created humankind in hardship. Surah Al-Balad, verse 4. The first primary fact is that we belong to Allah, as it is He who created us in this life of toil and struggle. The second primary fact is that everything will crumble, fall down, and disintegrate, leaving nothing behind, and Allah alone will endure. He will inherit everything as He is Al-Warith. Everything will return to Him. So Allah instructed those who are able to patiently endure the trials of life that they should pray, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alladhina asabatkum musibatun qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Those who, when afflicted by a calamity, say, to Allah we belong and to Him we will return. Although people generally make this prayer only when someone has died, Allah did not specify it for death announcements. He instructed that we make the prayer whenever a disaster or trial or tribulation hits us, even if the loss is of an object, like a mobile telephone. Let us revive this sunnah and confirm this dhikr prayer regularly in our times of loss. Moving on to the second principle, to confirm we're unique and inapplicable. Extreme Shiite claims have, according to extreme 12er Shiite beliefs, recorded in their most authentic collection of narrations from the 12 infallibles called Usul al-Kafi, the universe and its contents are all in the hands of the Imams. Al-Kulayni, the author of Al-Kafi, entitled one of the chapters, All the Earth is Owned by the Imam. In it, he narrated from Abu Basir that Abu Abdullah, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, said, or was supposed to have said, did you know that this world and the next world are owned by the Imam, who may place it wherever he likes and grant it to anyone he chooses? According to mainstream belief, all of creation, this world and the next, are owned by Allah alone, and only He can grant it to anyone He pleases. Subhanallah. Thus, this claim for the Shiite Imams is against the basic belief in Allah's unique unity. Tawheed. Not to be outdone, extreme Sufi beliefs have similar ideas. Among the extreme beliefs in Sufi sects, like the Naqshbandis, following the Turkish Cypriot Sufi Sheikh, known as Sheikh Nazim, who died in 2014, is the claim that the chief saint, Sultan al-Awliya, owns this world. They state, everything that you know of is under the spiritual control of Sultan al-Awliya. He is the one who is in charge of all mankind in this universe. He's also in charge of all the worlds of the jinns and the angels. The divine name Al-Warith, the inheritor, implies that since Allah is the only real owner of everything in existence, He alone is in charge of humankind in this universe. He alone owns the world and therefore is in charge of both worlds of the jinn and the angels. Thus, belief in this divine name and attribute, Al-Warith, requires us to completely reject such claims by the Shiites and the extreme Sufis. Indeed, we should be perfectly clear that if Allah is the only true creator, Al-Khaliq, Al-Khallaq, everything in existence belongs to Him alone, and He alone is in charge of everything. Such clarity of belief leaves no room at all for the previously mentioned heretical claims of such deviant sects. The third principle, to have hope where there is a promise. According to Ibn Battal, it contains a hidden promise of inheritance for the believers. The name Al-Warith contains a hidden promise of inheritance for the believers. Al-Warith also means the one who makes the believers inherit the abodes of the disbelievers in both this life and the next. As Allah said, وَأَوْرَثَكُمْ أَرْضَهُمْ وَدِيَارَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَرْضًا لَمْ تَطَعُوهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. And He made you inherit their land, their homes, their wealth, and a region you had not even stepped on. And Allah is capable of all things. Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 27. History is a witness to the believers inheriting rule over much of the known world within 25 years of the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An incredibly rapid and vast expansion, unprecedented in the recorded human history. Likewise, believers will inherit the abodes intended for disbelievers in paradise, and Allah will grant them eternal life in them. As Allah said, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعَدَهُ وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. And we will say, and they will say, praise be to Allah, who has fulfilled his promise to us and made us inherit the land, enjoying paradise as we please. How excellent is the reward of the sincere workers. Surah Zumar, verse 74. However, we should note that the believer's inheritance of paradise and eternal residence in it doesn't mean that they will share in Allah's divine attribute of internal existence. Khuld. Because the eternal existence of paradise and its inhabitants is due to Allah, causing them to continue to exist eternally, and due to His wish for them to do so. Thus, the eternal existence of created things, created beings, and places is neither natural nor is it an essential attribute, what they refer to as sifa dhatiya, belonging to the created beings and the locations. Instead, it is the nature of all of them to crumble, fall apart, disintegrate, and vanish. They depend on Allah to eternally exist. On the other hand, Allah's eternal existence and His inheritance of all, as well as the remainder of His divine attributes, are all naturally essential for Him, essential to Him. For Allah, in contrast with eternally existing creation, the attribute of eternal existence is an attribute of essence. In the case of Allah, and eternally existing creation, when you relate the two, it's a natural attribute of existence for Allah and an acquired attribute for creation. Thus, Allah remains the inheritor of all creations in this life and the next. Have fear where there is a warning, principle number 4. Understanding the implications of the divine name Al-Warith includes accepting that the wealth in our hands as inheritors must be used to do business in an honest way, pleasing to Allah. Otherwise, whatever we have dishonestly earned from doing dishonest business with what we have inherited will be cursed. Abdurrahman ibn Shibil quoted the Messenger of Allah as saying, "Inna tujjara humul fujjar." The traders are surely the most corrupt people. Somebody asked, "O Messenger of Allah, didn't Allah make trade permissible for us?" And he replied, "Certainly, but you speak and lie, and you make oaths and commit sins." On another occasion, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, "At-tajiru as-saduq al-amin ma'a an-nabiyyin was-siddiqin wash-shuhada." The truthful, honest trader will be with the prophets, the truthful, and the martyrs. Thus, business people who resist the often irresistible temptation to cheat their customers earn a special place in paradise for their efforts. It is worth noting that rather than Islam being spread by the sword, as is commonly claimed by detractors and enemies of Islam, Islam actually spread in places like Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, as well as West Africa, East Africa, by merchants from Oman and other parts of Arabia, who after their conversion to Islam began to scrupulously trade according to just and fair business principles. Their customers in Africa and Asia must have been amazed and confused by the change. Traders who for generations used to follow the standard methods of deception, trading by deception, hiding the deficiencies and problems that exist in the goods that they were selling, hiding it from their customers, covering it over one way or another. That's what they're used to. Suddenly, these traders abandoned them. It must have been a major shock for them. Their customers would have had no idea of the merchant's conversion or the major campaign which the Prophet ﷺ launched against deception and cheating in trade. So once they found out, then what was left for them but to accept Islam? We'll now close our session calling on Allah using the divine name Al-Warith. Ya Allah. Ya Warith. We know that you are the inheritor of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Aid us in using our worldly possessions to gain your pleasure through charity. Guide us in remembering frequently and detach ourselves from addiction to the material world. Ya Allah, help us to remember that we will return to you and make us act wisely upon this knowledge. Ya Warith, strengthen us to abide by your inheritance laws and protect us from falsely attributing to other creatures the power of ultimate inheritance. Ya Allah, grant us hope in inheriting the world once again and remove our fears of material loss. Ya Warith, make us of those who will inherit your perfect paradise. Ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll now shift to the third segment of our program or our session, and that is questions. Q&A, we have a few. Try to answer them for you. The first of the questions is from Muzammil Ahmed. How does a person with excessive waswasa differentiate between intentional and unintentional mistakes? Well, if you can't distinguish, assume that they're unintentional and do what is required, whether it's sujood as-sahu in our prayers, if we've made unintentional mistakes in the prayers, or intentional mistakes where we've lost something out of the prayer, we have to redo the prayer. That's a different situation. From our Instagrammers.
The female is asking, is it halal to have a male friend, to have male friends with a distance, like only talking and being friendly, no physical?
Well, it depends on what the talking is about. If the talking is about halal things, then it is not something disallowed. Although there are dangers in it. So seeking to have many male friends or many female friends for males is not something that we as Muslims should do because of the danger that potentially can come from it. Second question from the Facebook, from YouTube, is Kari Saqib. What text is our teacher using? Can we have access to review the notes of the Sheikh? What is he reading? I'm reading my notes. I'm reading from my notes, which I prepared for the class. Inshallah, once we have completed the 99 names, these notes will be turned into a text of over 1,000 pages, having probably 3 volumes, inshallah, if I live to that point. Question from Instagrammers?
Is it a sin voting and endorsing a democracy?
Voting in a democracy, where Muslims' affairs are threatened, where there are two candidates, one who is anti-Islam and the other one is positive towards Islam, it is our duty to vote for the one who has a positive view of Islam. The idea is basically what is known as the lesser of two evils. If we don't vote, and the one who is the enemy of Islam, open enemy of Islam, becomes the ruler, and then unleashes all kinds of calamities on Muslims, then we have brought it on ourselves by not voting. So we enter into that process, not necessarily going all the way, becoming candidates and all this. It depends according to the need of the community. We should participate in the process of selecting leadership for the country where we can, to ensure that our interests are protected. Another?
How to balance engineering and IOU?
Well, it depends on what you mean by balancing engineering and IOU. IOU, obviously engineering must be your primary full-time study, or if you're working as an engineer, that's not clear really. Then use and benefit from IOU in your spare time, in your additional time. We have many students, if it's studying, who study IOU along with their own disciplines and graduate with 2 certificates. Many who do that because IOU is so easily convenient to study in. Person who's working as an engineer, obviously it's going to be in your free time. Of course, if you have family, etc., then you have, you know, to divide up your time accordingly. But in the end, what it comes down to, or what it will come down to, is time management. Manar Mahrad asks, is it halal to take part in translating an American TV show into Arabic, knowing that the show talks about building homes and renovating them and recycling? Is this source of income halal? Yes, that source of income is halal. You know, if it were talking about corruption, then translation of corruption becomes corruption in itself, and promotion of corruption, which then would become haram. Any further question from Instagrammers?
Is celebrating birthdays permitted a lot of people have told me that it is haram.
Well, basically, the celebration of birthdays is haram in the sense that it is an annual celebration. They call it, you know, Eid Milad, an annual celebration, which the Prophet ﷺ forbade except in three cases. That is in two cases, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. These are the two that he permitted. Because when he came to Medina, he found that situation. People had different Eids that they were celebrating. So he asked what they were for. When they told him what they were for, some of them were okay, some of them were not. I mean, you know, neutral. But he said, cancel all of them. You have two Eids to replace all of them. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So on the basis of that, you know, scholars have ruled that celebration of birthdays is impermissible. Some hold that it is just disliked. But in any case, better you don't do it. Further question?
Is there any difference between men and women prayer?
There is no difference between the prayer of a man and the prayer of a woman. And Sahabiyat were described as praying in the same way that men prayed by those Tabi'in who were around them. Okay, with that, inshallah, we will close our session. Thanking you all for being with us and hoping that you have benefited. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.